John chapter 20. We have been journeying through the Gospel of John since very early this year, and I've enjoyed that very, very much. We're going to come to John chapter 20 this morning, and we're actually going to read sometimes we read just a few verses. This week we're actually going to read a fairly lengthy portion of the scriptures here all at once, just to help you understand and help our minds to be refreshed of this story and what takes place. John chapter 20 and verses 1 through 21. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 21. If you're physically able to, let's go ahead and stand together again in respect to God's word. John chapter 20. You hear a preacher say that sometime, and that we don't always do it, but it's probably a good thing biblically to do. It's not mandated. But we see examples in the scriptures of when people stood for the reading of God's word. We actually find one place back, I think it's in the book of Nehemiah, where they actually would have stood for several hours. They spent the first several hours of the day standing and one person just reading the word of God. Then I think they got to sit down, and the Bible tells about how for the rest of the day, preachers stood and they explained to them what the word of God meant that they just read. And so that's a biblical a pattern that we do see in scriptures. Look at John chapter, you won't be here all day, but you get the point. Okay, John chapter 20, and let's read verses 1 through 21. It'd be good if you wanted to be here all day. That would be a good thing, amen? John chapter 20 and verses 1 through 21. The Bible says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre." That other disciple whom John loved is just John. He loved more than just John, but John was obviously had this unique relationship. It says in verse 5, "And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in." Maybe he was, a little spooked, a little scared, I don't know. Verse 6, "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but," notice this, "wrapped together in a place by itself." Boy, decently and in order, that's our God, right? Jesus rises up from the grave, he leaves that tomb, but the napkin was there, neatly folded before he left. Amen? Neatly folded. It'd do us good not to leave our place a mess when we go off somewhere. We should maybe learn from that and work a bit harder. I should work a bit harder at that in my house. Amen. Notice verse number 8. "Then went in that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence," in other words, if you've taken him somewhere, if you've carried him away, "tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, Mary," she now recognized something, right? She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He showed them his hands to show the nail scars and showed his side that they might see where the spear had been driven into his side. He came to them in a time when they were in fear, in a time when they were really almost hiding somewhat for fear of the Jews. And he comes and he stands in the midst of them and says unto them, verse 19, Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray you'd use it in our hearts this morning to challenge us and help us. Spirit of God, help me to say what you want me to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus now has been crucified. He died on the cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And now he has risen again from the grave, just like he had said that he would. He comes and he ends up finding the disciples. They had scattered after that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. They scattered at that time when Judas betrayed the Lord. Peter, we know, we've talked about it, he denied the Lord three times that night, and he ended up leaving, weeping and ashamed. The disciples were probably fearful for their own lives and hurting because their master was gone, and they were confused because their leader was dead, and their master seemingly just taken away from them. Here we read that Jesus comes to the disciples, and he finds them in a place with the door shut. That expression likely means that, you know, the place was even locked. Maybe the doors were barred shut of the place where they were. And they were fearful of the Jewish leaders. You know, they already did this to our Jesus. What might they want to do to us? And Jesus comes to the disciples with a message of peace. A message of peace. Again, he came then the same day at evening, verse 19, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. And stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. This group of men had scattered when Jesus was crucified. But now they seem to have regathered themselves together, and they're hidden in a room because they're frightened. They're afraid. When we have fears, listen, I want you to know something. Jesus is the one who can bring us peace. When you've got fears in your life and troubles in your life, the one who can bring peace to you is always the Lord Jesus Christ. One preacher said this, when the supernatural touches the natural, the message is always peace or fear not. When deity touches humanity, the message is always peace. Well, there is a peace in this world that we can only have from being justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a type of peace that people can never know unless they are justified through faith in Christ. Unless they get their sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 teaches us that. Listen, Jesus Christ came to earth. He came to bring peace to you. He came to bring peace not only to you, but came to bring peace for you. He wants you to be able to be at peace with God. He wants you to be at peace with the Creator. He wants you to be at peace with your Maker. You know, sin is what separated us. Sin is what broke our relationship with God back in the Garden of Eden. Because of that, man has always been born with a sin nature, and there's not been peace. And that's the reason of the necessity of us being justified. Us being brought together, our sins being forgiven, and us being made right with God. When Jesus was born into the world, what did the angel say? I want you to look back at Luke chapter 2 for a moment. Luke chapter number 2. We're going to come back to John eventually. But if you can look with me at Luke chapter 2, these are some verses in the midst of, you know, what we call the Christmas story, the nativity story. Luke chapter 2, and I want you to notice there in verses 8 to 10, at the birth of Christ. The incarnation of Christ, the birth of Christ. What did the angels say? What was the message that they brought? Notice Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." They were fearful. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." He says, "Fear not. Fear not. Hey, I've got some good tidings for you. I've got some good news for you. You've got to hear it. Fear not. Fear not." And the Savior's been born. The angels delivered a message of peace. Peace was now come into the world. People could now have peace with God through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep reading verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," what? "Peace, peace, goodwill toward men." Listen, through Jesus Christ we can have peace with God. Through Jesus Christ we can have the forgiveness of our sins. Through Jesus Christ, we can have peace in our hearts, even if there's times where we're hurting, even if there's times where we're fearful or afraid, even if there's times where we're going through sorrows and troubles in our life, we can have peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 7 tells us the wonderful story of a woman who came to Jesus and she was forgiven of all her sins. And Jesus said to the woman in verse number 50, she said, "Thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. You can now go in peace because your sins have been forgiven. You've been justified. Go in peace. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ brings peace. He brings peace to us over and over in the Gospels. We're not going to look at them, but there are stories of people whose lives were touched by Jesus. And what did they find? They found peace because the Lord Jesus Christ brings peace to mankind. What is it that Jesus offers us? What kind of peace is it that Jesus provides us with? Let me share with you a few things very simply. Number one, first, Jesus offers us peace with God. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 4, if you would. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And you got to stay with me. It gets a little bit warm in here, okay? And I've learned these things. Sometimes maybe the timing is not just right of the thermostats and turn it on, because it gets real warm in the morning as it's pumping out all that heat. And by the afternoon time, it's just kind of a nice temperature in here because the blowers have stopped blowing all that heat. So if you want to be real comfortable, you stay for the afternoon, okay? Listen to this. Romans chapter 4. Jesus offers us peace with God. Peace with God. Romans chapter 4, and I want you to begin reading there with me in verse number 23. Romans chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead." The righteousness of Christ being imputed on a record it's talking about. It says, "Who was delivered," talking about Christ now, "who was delivered," Jesus our Lord was raised from the dead. "He was delivered up," what? "For our offenses." He was raised again, what? "For our justification." For our justification. Notice chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." What is it that Christ brings us? What is it that Jesus offers us? It's peace with God. And even the wording of that is significant. Peace with God is what I'm talking about when we say we need our sins forgiven. We need to be made right with God. Sin breaks that fellowship. Sin breaks that relationship with God. We are God and you know, creator and creation, but we only become father and children when we accept the Savior, when we accept Jesus Christ by faith. when we put our trust in Him and our sins are forgiven and we're justified in the sight of God and He wipes all the sins from our record. It's washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ and He imputes the righteousness of Christ onto our record instead. That's what it means to have peace with God. Do you have that? Do you have peace with God? Do you know that if you were to stand before God today, your sins are forgiven? If you were to, and people sometimes, you know, tell little stories or jokes about, you know, standing at the pearly gates and meeting St. Peter and that sort of thing. Well, if you were to stand at the pearly gate, and if you were to meet God, and He was to say, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you say? What would you tell Him? Hey, what would you tell Him? Why should He let you into heaven? You know the reason why I can tell Him He should let me into heaven, and the only reason why is because I got forgiven years ago. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I got peace with God. I got my sins forgiven. I've been born again. I know my sins have been taken away because I put my faith in Christ. I'm not going to get led into heaven or allowed into heaven because, you know, I was a pastor or because I tried to be a good husband or something like that. No, the only reason I'm going to heaven is because I'm a sinner who's been justified. I'm a sinner who put my faith in Jesus Christ. And there's peace between me and God. My sins are forgiven. I have become His child because I put my faith in Him. Do you know that? Do you have your sins forgiven? Have you been justified? It's our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's trusting Him alone. That's what's going to allow us to be at peace with God, to have the forgiveness of our sins. From the very beginning, sin separated man in the Garden of Eden, separated us from Him. And sin still separates us from God, unless we will believe on God's Son and put our faith and trust in Him. So we're justified. So we're forgiven. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does Jesus offer us? Number one, peace what? With God. You help me say it, okay? First, He offers us peace what? With God. Peace with God. Do you have peace with God? I hope you do. Number two, secondly, Jesus offers us the peace of God. The peace of God. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter number 4. If you're in Romans, just keep turning a number of pages to the right, not too far. You'll see Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4. And we want to look there at verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Notice what the Bible says here about the peace of God. The peace of God is different than peace with God. And I want you to see that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. In other words, it's be full of cares over nothing. Like, don't be full of anxiety. Don't be full of cares. Don't be full of worries. It says, but in everything, what should you do in your troubles and in your struggles and in your difficulties? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You got struggles. You got troubles. You got fears. Bring it to God. Bring it to God in prayer, even with thanksgiving. Bring it to Him. Why? Because He wants to give you the peace of God. He not only wants you to have, you know, the peace with God that He gives you at the moment of salvation, that He gives you when you put your faith in Christ to be forgiven and born again. He wants you to experience the peace of God in your life on a daily basis. He wants you to have the peace of God when you lose a loved one. He wants you to have the peace of God when you have to go through a trial and difficulty in your life. That you've got the peace of God that everything's going to turn out okay. You've got the peace of God that I know He still loves me. You've got the peace of God that He's going to help me through this. He wants you to have the peace of God. This morning, early this morning, about 4:30 this morning, Mrs. Astrid Tidd, her mom passed away. You know what God's going to give to her? I believe, I know God's going to give to her the peace of God. The peace of God. Because God does that. God brings that. You know what God gave to my mom when her father and her husband and her son all passed away? The peace of God. My mom didn't become a stinking, bitter, grumpy old woman. She didn't become a bitter, middle-aged wife that why did God take my son from me and my dad from me and my husband from me? No, why? Because God gave her the peace of God. And if there's somebody that you don't ever get the peace of God, then that's worrying. That's concerning. Because the peace of God is available to his children. The peace of God is there for believers who will walk with him and love him. The peace of God, do you know it? Listen, do you have the peace of God? He wants you to have it. Notice what it says. What do we do when we've got troubles? Don't be full of cares and worries. No. Pray about it. Pray. Bring it to God. He says in verse 7, here's the promise. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. What does that mean, that little expression? It means it surpasses all human understanding. The peace of God, it surpasses. You know, your human understanding sometimes may be limited in a trial, in a trouble, in a difficulty where you don't understand, why is this happening? Why is this going on? This is difficult. This is hard. But he gives you the peace of God. He can bring the peace of God to your heart and the peace of God to your mind that, you know what, I can trust him and things are going to be okay. The peace of God is greater than, it surpasses your limited human understanding of the situations and the trials of life sometimes. You know, we don't see things from God's perspective. But he wants us to have the peace of God to keep our hearts and minds that things will be okay. It says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Matthew chapter 11 verses 28 and 29 tells us this, and many of you would know it. Not everyone, but let me quote it to you. It says, come unto me all ye that labor. Well, you're laboring. You've got burdens. It says that labor and are heavy laden. You're burdened down. It says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Hey, that soul rest, that rest for your souls that God wants to give, that God is capable of giving, that's the peace of God. That's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That's the peace of God that can keep your hearts and minds. That's what God wants to give you. Walk with him. He says, come unto me. Right? In your struggles, in your troubles, in the other verse, hey, pray, spend time with God. Here he says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, get close to me, walk with me, spend time with me, and I'll give you the peace of God. When we pray, when we walk with the Lord, when we trust him and obey him, we will learn God's word is true. And he will give us peace in our hearts, even through the cares, even through the trials, even through the burdens of life that we face. Listen, when my dad passed away, I was an 8-year-old boy. Do you know what my mother did the next Sunday after my dad passed away? Went to church. Do you know what my mom did in those days following her husband passing away? Read her Bible. Do you know what we continued to do on Saturdays like we'd done before? We just kept on doing. We continued to visit our bus route. My mom was a bus captain. We had a bus ministry in the church, and we'd visit people and bring in lots of people on a bus to come to Sunday school and learn about Christ. You know what? She just kept right on doing the same thing. Kept on walking with God. Kept on going to church. Kept on being with Christ and doing what Christ wanted. And you know what she had? The peace of God. The peace of God. Boy, if we just turn inward and get all focused on self and don't keep focusing on Christ and so on. Yeah, we can be full of cares and we can be full of worries and we can live a stressed out life and things can be overwhelming. But it doesn't have to be that way. He says, you bring to me your burdens. You're heavy laden. You're carrying a heavy load. Hey, bring it over here and drop it. Let go of it. Let me carry it. I want you to have the peace of God. Jesus offers us the peace of God. Earlier in Christ's ministry, when the disciples were out on a boat in the midst of a storm and they were afraid, Jesus came and he spake peace to them. Listen, Jesus Christ is the one that can bring peace in the midst of our storms. When we've got storms, when we've got trials in life, he can bring peace. Jesus brought peace to the disciples in their time of fear. Remember what we read back there in John chapter 20, verse 19? They're fearful. They're afraid. Things aren't so well. You know, there's the Jews, they might be out to get us next. We might sometimes live in the world today and think, good night, the world, it seems like more and more is turning against Christians, turning against God, turning against the things that are true and good and right. How are we going to live? Well, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to keep on walking with God. I'm going to keep on doing right. And you know what He can give me? The peace of God. You know what He does give me? The peace of God. It doesn't matter how secular, how humanistic, how you know, whatever, turning against God a nation becomes. You can still have the peace of God in your own heart. You can still have the peace of God in your own mind. Hey, I know that at the end of this book, at the end of the story, I'm going to be on the winning side. Things are going to turn out all right for me. I'm a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven. Nobody can ever take that away from me. The world may be judged, but I know that sin is all, my sin's already been judged. I got it taken care of. I trusted the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away my sins, and I know the end's good for me. Do we have the peace of God? Do we have the peace of God? Brother Abraham, help, you can help bring somebody in from the hallway. Somebody in the hallway, just help them into a seat, okay? Sorry, everybody listen. Christ can bring peace. He brought peace to the disciples. He brought peace to many people's lives. He brings the peace with God that is salvation and justification. He offers it to all those who will believe on Him, and He gives us the peace with God that nobody else can give. But He also gives us the peace of God. I want you to notice something again. Go back to John chapter 20, if you still have your Bible open there, perhaps. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and notice this, verse 20. John 20, 20. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples what? Glad. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Notice that even though Jesus was risen from the dead and in a glorified body, He still bore the marks of the cross. Jesus showed the disciples the scars, the marks from His nail-pierced hands. He showed them the mark from the spear that had been thrust into His side. I want you to remember something. Jesus was wounded for our sins and transgressions. He was wounded for us so that one day we could stand up before God in heaven and stand complete. And stand without blemish. And stand without spot. And stand without any sin on our record. Why is that possible? Because of Christ. Because of Christ. Jesus took our sins. And it seems like the scars will remain on Christ's glorified body for all eternity, to remind us of the great price our Savior paid so that we can have peace with God. It seems like there will always be a mark. Maybe not, but it seems like from this, you know, risen appearance of Christ, that there will always be a mark. There will always be those nail-scarred hands. There will always be that scar in His side that will always remind us of the price that He paid so that we could have peace with God and the forgiveness of our sins. I want you to turn to another reference with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You've listened so well. I hope that in your heart and mind you're grasping here what God has for you. Jesus offers us peace. Jesus offering peace with God is basically what being reconciled to God is all about. In this passage that we're going to see here, the Bible calls it being reconciled to God.
Being reconciled to God.
And that's what it is to have peace with God, to be reconciled. That what was broken, what was estranged, what was not a relationship has now been brought into a relationship with God. Notice what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 18 to 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 18 to 21. It says, "In all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself." He brings us into that relationship with Himself. How? By Jesus Christ. "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So not only does He reconcile us, not only does He allow us to have peace with God, but He says, "You know what? I want you to help others to have peace with God. Not only have I reconciled you, but I want you to be a part of a ministry of reconciling others. A ministry of reconciliation. So not only do I give you peace with me, peace with God, I want you to show others how they can have peace with God as well." Let's read on, 2 Corinthians 5. It says in verse 19, "To wit, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We get to be representatives for Christ. He says, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, instead of Christ, representing Christ, be reconciled to God. It says verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, Christ came and died on the cross so that we could be reconciled, so that we could have peace with God. But I want you to notice that he wants us to also share with others how they can have peace with God. These verses teach us how we're reconciled to God. We have peace with God, but then we're given the ministry of reconciliation. It is our job to take to others the message of salvation. It is our job to take to others the good news. It is our job to share with others that peace with God is available to them. It's available to anyone who will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who will put their faith in the gospel. Hey, you can have your sins forgiven. You can be born again. You can have your sins washed away. You can have the righteousness of Christ on your record. Your life can be changed. You can be a child of God. And it's available to those who will believe. You know what it really is? It's peace for you and peace for others. God is giving peace for you, but he's also giving peace for others. Hey, not only does God want you to be at peace with him, but he wants you to show others how they can be at peace with God also. Jesus brings peace into our lives. And notice this now, that he sends us out. He is sending us out to bring that message of peace. He is sending us out to take part in that ministry of reconciliation. He is sending us out to bring that message of salvation, that people can have peace with God and their sins forgiven and be restored into a relationship with God. He's sending us out to bring it to others. Back in John chapter 20, do you still have your Bible open there? He had, in 21, he came to the room. He said, peace be unto you. And we've studied it. We've talked about it. We know that he wants us to have the peace of God. But importantly, he brings us peace with God. And that's the matter of our salvation. But think about the rest of that verse. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So just like God the Father sent his Son Jesus Christ into the world so that we could have peace with God, Christ, before he ascends and goes back to his Father, he says, even as I was sent into the world, so send I you. I am leaving you here now. I am bringing you the peace of God. I am bringing you peace with God. But now I'm sending you to bring the peace of God to others. I'm sending you to bring the message of peace with God to others. Boy, let's take that seriously. Do you understand? If you've been saved, God wants you to show others how to be saved. If you've been forgiven of your sins, God wants you to help others to know how they can be forgiven of their sins. If you have peace with God, you know that you're a child of God. He says, I want you, I'm sending you out that you would tell others how they too can be a child of God, how they can have peace with him. The redemption of the disciples was now accomplished through Christ's death and burial and resurrection. And they were now supposed to take the message of redemption and peace to the world. As we go in the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can proclaim the forgiveness of sins is available through Jesus Christ. All power belongs to Jesus to remit sins. No man can take away sins. No man has power to absolve sins or to take away sins or to forgive man's sins. But you know what? We can do something. We can and we should tell others about the Savior who is able to and who will forgive man's sins. Jesus Christ came to bring me peace with God. And he says, I'm sending you out to bring peace with God to others as well. I'm not sending you out that you have the power to, you know, go and forgive man's sin. But you know what you've got the power to do? To say, I'm going to go, I'm going to witness, I'm going to pass out a gospel tract, I'm going to tell somebody what Christ has done for me, I'm going to tell somebody else the message of salvation, I'm going to tell them about the forgiveness of sins that I have, I'm going to tell them how my life was changed and I've got peace with God. Because when you point them to Christ, they can have peace with God too, if they'll only believe. Nowhere in the Gospels or the book of Acts do we read of the apostles being the ones who, you know, take away the sins of people, but they did preach the forgiveness of sins. They preached the message of salvation. They preached that it is possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Even God in heaven does not arbitrarily go around deciding who to forgive their sins and who not to forgive. Forgiveness of sins is for those who believe on the Son of God and trust in the precious blood of Jesus Christ that He shed for us. Forgiveness of sins and peace with God is available to us because of what Christ did for us on the cross. What is Jesus Christ sending us to do? Very simply, and we'll get to eat. What is Christ sending us to do? He's sending us to tell the gospel. To tell the gospel. There is no greater work than we can do than to proclaim the forgiveness of sins that is possible when people will believe on Christ. He's sending us to tell the gospel. Secondly, He's sending us to share the peace with God that's available to those who will believe and those who will trust in Jesus alone. Listen, if you've received it, go share it with others. If you've received it, you have peace with God. You know you're saved. You know your sins are forgiven. Hey, go tell somebody else. He says, I've come to bring you peace. Now you go and bring it to somebody else. Let others know how they too can have peace with God. Do you have peace with God? Do you know that you're at peace with God? Do you know that things are right between you and God, the Creator? If you've never been saved, if you've never had the forgiveness of your sins, if you've never been born again, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, listen, you need to speak to me. You need to let me take the Bible and just show you very clearly, simply. I've shared much of it today, really. Enough for you to understand and believe that Christ has died for us and His blood was shed for you. He wants you to have your sins forgiven, but you've got to believe Him and trust Him alone. No man can save you. No church can save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Do you have peace with God? Do you want peace with God? Do you need peace with God? You need to be born again. And those of you that have peace with God, I ask you, are you sharing the message of peace with others? It's peace for you and peace for others. Peace for you and peace for others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.